Hello and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's Mahjong podcast.
That's a good way to put it.
Yes. It's the podcast where we can talk about Mahjong.
Yes, and that gives no sense of how often this should be happening.
Yes, it's just that we always have that problem on the other show we do where others of us like to talk about Mahjong, but then it's like the wrong venue for it, and so it's like, oh, we can't talk about Mahjong. Anyway, yeah.
No, it's just because you get so specific. If you could talk about Mahjong not specifically, I would be happy to let you bring it up, but you can't.
General Mahjong?
Yeah.
Oh, it's true. It is. Yeah, I do start talking about specific tiles and everything.
Yeah.
Pie and whatever.
And that alienates. So.
Well, yeah, so this is the place where we do get to talk about it.
Yes.
Me being Garth.
Yes. And I'm Jen.
And you being Jen.
I'm being Jen today and yesterday.
Totally. Yes. For pretty much most of the time. We've had a little bit of time off for Christmas and New Year's. Did you play any Mahjong over the holidays at all?
Yeah, I had some guest jobs.
Oh, that was nice. Good.
And then I played 24 games of Fight Club. No, I played like 16 games of Fight Club on the 30th, and then 8 more on the 31st. That's all I played in December.
Wow, you have been busy.
Yeah, I got my games in just in time.
Just barely.
Well, barely. Done. And then I came back, and then we went to your house after that. I went and played.
That
and
was fun, yes. Sorry, yeah, a little confusion on how New Year's was supposed to happen. I was told... of course, Jen knows this already, but I was told that there was going to be like a Times Square sort of celebration in Shibuya.
It really sounds like somebody just was like, I wonder how far this can spread, and just made it up.
Well, the thing is, apparently, in years past, there had been sort of spontaneous gatherings, and because of that, it was what I described. It was they were doing the exact opposite of closing down the intersection so that people could be thronging there.
So
there
are people there like, keep it moving. Nothing to see
nothing
here.
Nothing to see here. Yeah, they actually did the opposite of shutting down car traffic. They shut down pedestrian traffic. Like, they actually shut down... This is what I heard, because I wasn't there. But they shut exits from, like, the train station so that you couldn't even get to that intersection because they were worried about people trying to party there and have fun. Good old Japanese police. Oh, my God! There might be some people over there having fun. Better put a stop to that.
Oh my god, I've seen them plenty of times not stopping people that are having fun that I thought were annoying.
Yeah, it's true. It depends on where it is.
If they have a plan, so they just had a plan that time. And if they don't have a plan, then they will not stop hardly anyone from having fun.
Right.
Or not having fun.
Yes, they are largely ineffective. Except for preventing us from playing Mahjong.
We get to play a lot of Mahjong.
Yes, well.
Probably more than any other place that something like that would be illegal.
Yeah, I don't know. Just all the categorization of Mahjong as it is right now is fairly annoying. But yeah, so that's another topic. What was I? Oh, we have a question. We have a question from Matt Osball.
Yes.
Who I think is also known on Twitter as Matt Pulsford.
Cool.
But anyway, he's the...
You want to give out his address and phone number, too?
He is our listener that we were talking about, who made it to the Honsen, the main round, or the main part of the tournament.
Yes, the translation of that is way farther than both Garth and I.
Yeah. Yes, he made it farther than both of us for the Oisen tournament. And it seems that he's been in a bit of a slump. He was wondering what we do to get out of slumps. And for just as an aside, he noticed, or he seems to have noticed, that his slump really coincides with a time after he read a bunch of articles that Ex-Kime had translated from Japanese into English. And he was trying to incorporate that, and he's not sure for sure if that is what has sort of caused his slump to come on. But... he does notice a coincidence there.
Mm-mm.
So,
what was in the articles?
I'm not sure. But actually, so I was thinking about that, and I definitely remember a couple times, like going to our study group on Thursdays, and being told this and that, and I got to incorporate this into my game, I got to incorporate that into my game, and especially when I was told, you know, all the time, like just kind of nonstop, defense, defense, defense. All right, all right, I'll play defense. And so then all I was doing was playing defense, and sure enough, I didn't win at all.
Yeah, that's what happens when the thing is, if you're going for it all the time, you have a chance of winning the hand. Yes. And if you're folding, you have no chance of winning the hand. But in both cases, you do have a chance of losing the hand. So when you play defense, you have to be really sure that that's what you want to do, I think.
Yeah.
And sure that that's beneficial.
Right. And you have to be 100% about it either. Because if you're folding and you still manage to throw a winner, wow, that's you're really shooting yourself in the foot there.
Yeah. If you're doing that a lot, then it might be better just to not fold for a while.
Right.
Honestly. I'm having trouble figuring out myself, even. I think I don't go for it enough. I think I fold way too much.
I think there are probably a lot of pros who do that, but I think there are far, far more pros who are just simply going for it all the time.
I'm trying to figure out why that's bad in a tournament. I'm not sure it's bad.
Oh, in a tournament, I think that's even more necessary than...
So I think it's good.
Yeah.
It's definitely better than, like, folding your way to a loss in a lot of ways.
Right.
Yeah.
The people who are going to win a tournament are basically the people who could just simply keep going for it all the time. And
if you can do that while reading your opponents, then you're going to be a lot stronger than someone who's folding a lot, I think. If you're just going for and ignoring the table, that's one thing. But if you're going for and reading the other players, what they have, what may come out, things like that, then you probably do a lot better, at least in JPML tournaments, because there's a lot of people that are folding a lot in those tournaments.
In tournaments, you think people are folding a lot?
Yeah.
Huh. I would have imagined that tournaments, pretty much everybody is just... Not going for it indiscriminately, but you know, there's just not enough time to play much defense and try to play the good mahjong.
But I don't think they teach it differently either. I don't think they say okay in tournament. I mean, they say okay, don't win if you're in third place. But the advice doesn't really go beyond that as far as playing differently in tournaments.
Actual strategy for winning tournaments.
Yeah. I've never heard any advice besides that. That's not, like, pro-like. But, okay, well...
I know, and...
Help fix me before that.
Right. And another thing that I found annoying, comparing, the difference between... So we're talking about tournaments right now, but I was talking to some people after our study group, and I've been getting this comment a lot lately, that if I would just play normally, like I do at the study group... I would have to do well in league also. Like I, and if you just played your normal, like Jitsuryoku, your normal strength would be good enough to win. First of all, I think, you guys don't even think that. If you honestly thought that, then you certainly wouldn't need a seed system for tournaments, right? If the fact that you're just playing your normal strength can win tournaments, you should always just be able to win on your normal strength, then go ahead and play from zero, Nimrods. But anyway, so they say that, and which I don't really think is the case. And it's the more you go up against people who are just going for it all the time, the more you realize, wow, it is a lot more luck than people really give it credit for. And what's even more annoying is the people who do happen to win by just going for it all the time end up justifying that, well, I knew I should go for it there because of this, or and the one time they happen to give up, and it happens to have been the right time. I knew I should have given up because of that, and you're like, oh, well, you had the same situation a couple hands ago, and you didn't. You just went for it there. I don't really see any difference between these two situations. You're certainly not explaining any difference either.
But I haven't found very many people that really explain a difference well, even...
Right, right.
The people that fold that aren't going for it all the time.
Well, another... problem with our league is just the fact that our league is leans so much more towards the occult style of play. Like they think they can feel when luck is coming or when it's gone the other way.
Yeah, I haven't seen that actually.
Well, I haven't seen it borne out. I haven't seen their claims borne out.
It's exactly to me, their explanations are exactly the same as the ones you just described.
Yeah, it's always after the fact they justify what happened. It's never what you. I know now that I am going to be lucky, so I'm going to go for it, and then they do it. And I'd say, you know, a typical explanation, like...
I do hear them sometimes during the study group in the game, like, okay, well, now the luck is over here, so...
Right.
And then somebody completely different wins the hand.
Right.
And they're trying to justify it afterwards.
Classic one, a couple weeks ago at the study group, last one of the year. I think I won the first hand, I won the second hand, and I won the third hand, like, Mangan as dealer. And then I had another big hand that I couldn't win as dealer. So I won the first three hands. So obviously the luck was with me that game. But then I lost. I didn't win the fourth hand. And then the next hand as dealer, I got to ready with three Dora in my hand. But I did have a very dangerous, I think it was like Uso. Like Dora was cheaping. I got to Tenpai with three.
Dora was seven of dots. Seven
of dots. Sorry.
P. 7P is fine.
Seven P or seven of dots. But I had a dangerous five of BAMs, I think it was, still in my hand, which I, like, all right, well, I've got three Dora in my hand, so I'm gonna go for it.
At least you're justified.
Right. So I went for it, and of course it was somebody else's Mangan. It was Yamai's Mangan. And we open up the hands,
so
and I'm like, oh, oh, yeah.
Of course, you didn't win the fourth hand, so of course you couldn't win the fifth
exactly
hand.
Exactly! That was exactly the explanation I got.
It has nothing to do with you deciding.
Because he said, yeah. He said something about how, like, I might have given up that hand. And I was like, what? Like, seriously, after I win the first three hands, like, you, person who says you should have to go for it when you're lucky, and now I get to, I've won the first three hands, and then I get three Dora in my hand, and I'm still supposed to give up. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, but you see, you didn't win that hand. So, so then the luck had moved on from you there. And I was like, oh my God.
But why can't it come back?
It's obviously something very complicated that we do not understand. It's probably there's a whole quantum luck equation probably that you need to be. Well, actually, that's probably relativity, huh? You need to be Einstein of luck to figure out that equation.
I love Einstein. I bet Einstein would make fun of the occult.
Oh.
Method.
Yes. Yes, he certainly would.
He'd stick his tongue.
He was famous for saying, God does not play dice. It is all deterministic. But anyway, getting back to the whole slumpy question.
Well, you just need to bring the luck back.
Yeah.
And I get in a slump every time I play Mahjong Fight Club.
Oh. That does sound pretty frustrating.
I just can't win that game.
Huh. Well, now that I'm back out of the Super A League, I won 6 out of 11 games.
I think I won one out of like every 10 or 20.
I was having I didn't win very much. Well, I won, all right, I guess I won pretty much the average 25%.
Yeah, I'm below 25%.
Really?
Huh.
I am just over 30%.
Yeah, I can never win Fight Club.
That is interesting. But you do better than I do in League.
Yeah, when it's not a video game, for some reason, I win. Hmm. Almost consistently. I think I lost a few times at Chombo, the place where I've been working. I lost, like, probably half the time, maybe 3 out of 5 times there in December. But, I lost 3 times, I think, and I won twice. And that's...
When you say you lost, you mean you had, like...
I lost a lot. Yeah.
Oh, okay, your overall... For the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then 2 days I won for the day.
Wow.
And I won pretty big for the day for those 2 days. And I lost pretty big for 3 days. But all my other days I won or broke even. So when I play live, I win a lot.
Way to go, way
it's
to go.
It's just Fight Club. I can't win ever.
Interesting. Yeah, for slumps.
You're breathing into the mic a lot.
Yeah, I know I can't. But can't get this thing in the right spot. For slumps, I would just say that you've got to kind of go back to your basic way of playing, and if especially if you notice that when your slump started, it coincides with you trying to bring, you know, incorporate some new theory into your game.
Yeah, it's not always bad. I mean, it might mean that you're learning.
Right.
As well. It's like with languages, too. When you feel like you're struggling a lot, that's usually when you're learning the most. So just make sure, I would say, make sure you think about your games a lot. Think about the moves you've made.
And you know, reflect when something doesn't work out. Well, all right, did I do something wrong there, or was I just unlucky? And maybe I should actually keep doing this kind of play.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, for example, lately I have been going for Kokushi every single time I have Kyushu Kyuhai. Nine terminal tiles. Which, in our game, means that you can end the hand right there on the first draw. But I think that's a great chance to go for Kokushi.
Yeah, me too.
13 orphans. But going for it all the time may not necessarily be the best strategy.
A lot of times I think that 8 terminal tiles, and sometimes even 7, is a really good time to go for Kokushi.
I am right there with you on that one. In fact, I think the very last time that I got Kokushi, I started with just 7.
Yeah. I'm often proven wrong, but sometimes.
Yeah, it's not. It's surprising how often it works out, actually.
Yes. And it's surprising how often I have 7 terminal tiles in my hand. Jerk.
Well, so another thing about that sort of starting hand is that, you know, once you clear out the middle tiles anyway, you can still be going for just an outside hand.
Yeah.
If the right things, if certain things.
And people will think you're going for Kokushi, so they.
Right.
They generally, even if they think you're going for Kokushi, won't fold.
Yes.
I've learned.
Well, it's true also that unless you have the 13 tile weight, how are you going to know which of 13 tiles you're waiting for? Then you really have to give up.
They usually find out exactly which one I'm waiting for when the fourth whatever tile comes out and it becomes impossible for me to get Kokushi.
Yes. Well, that does sort of give it away. That's definitely one that you're missing when that last one comes out. Okay, well, we got a quick one today because we've got our other show coming up. But thank you for listening.
It's
thanks.
Garth was late.
Yes, I was totally late getting here from Tokyo.
But Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, yes.
Thank you for listening to our sporadic updates.
Tune in to us again.
And Mahjong Mart is back online. We've moved it again from reachmahjong.com to Mahjong Mart.
Yay.
If
you want to get in touch with us, I am Garth E, G-A-R-T-H-E, at reachmahjong.com.
I'm Jen, J-E-N-N, at reachmahjong.com.
And we are on Twitter also, Garth E, G-A-R-T-H-E-E-E.
And Mahjong Jen, with one N in each word.
get yourselves out of those slumps and get yourselves back in the parlors or back on Fight Club.
I'm not sure we helped anyone get out of a slump here today.
It's just you've got to go back to basics.
Yeah, go good.
That's generally what it is. You're trying something that you aren't used to doing, and you go back to your basic way of playing, what you were used to do.
Or read our book.
Oh yes,
$15. You can get that.
We wrote a book, and
Garth's mom was supposed to buy a whole bunch.
I know, she totally slacked.
I think Garth slacked.
Well, yes.
I'm just going to blame everything on you. Okay.
Generally slacker.
Really,
okay.
Now we really got to go.
Okay. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you guys again later.
See ya. Said and done, it was right for you to run.